Texas collected from Exodus chapter 33, immediately following the incident of the molten calf. And Yahweh said to Moses, "Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up amongst you, lest I consume you in the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." He says Christmas is merry. Frankly, I'm tired. And I suspect that the last few days and few weeks have taken their toll on all of us. I suppose, too, that whether we reflect on a few days or weeks or a few years or many years, that even though we thank God for his blessing and the privilege of serving him, that we all recognize that there are many times, even within the kingdom of God, that our service perhaps is less than merit. And what of so many others at this festive time? What of the sick, the poor, the homeless, the lonely, the aged, the bereaved? What of the world in which we live? Peace on earth is a sham, whether you be at the borders of Poland or in the parking lot of Venture. Can Christmas be merry? Is the presence of God with us, O Emmanuel, something which truly makes us rejoice and sing? Or is the presence of God often lost and forgotten amidst the cares and concerns and yet evils of this world? How quickly they forgot. Emmanuel had just ransomed captive Israel and led them dry shod through the sea. Yahweh, their King and Lawgiver, had revealed himself to them as King, a King who yet would rule forever. And as Lawgiver too, he who first by his power and word ordered the world itself in creation. He who in justice and holiness demands obedience from yet all nations. And he who had claimed Israel as his own and had just a few chapters before our text revealed to them his will and his way so that they might serve him as his people. But how quickly they forgot. Suddenly the presence of God didn't seem quite so obvious to them. Moses tarried a bit too long on the mountain. God's agenda did not seem to agree with theirs. And even though God had just told them, "You will have no other gods before me. You will not make for yourselves a graven image," they built a molten calf. And suddenly, God's presence with them became a consuming fire and power, like that refining fire of the one who, in justice and holiness, must punish sin. "Go up," he tells Moses. "Take your people to the land which I promised to give to them, but I will not go with you, lest I consume you in the way." What awful words those must have been for God to say, "I will not go with you." Emmanuel, God with us. Are there the two alternatives? Either he is with us to consume us for our sin, or he is not with us at all. King Ahaz learned the same lesson in our Old Testament reading today. I Isaiah had exhorted him to trust the Lord God, to trust Yahweh in the face of danger to the house of David. But he has refused. He refused the sign of Emmanuel, God with him. He said, God, I've got it all figured out. I know how to deal with my world. I know how to handle Israel and Syria and Assyria. God, you just don't get in my way. But Emmanuel is not so easily put off. God is with you, he has, like it or not. The sign of Emmanuel that Isaiah gives to King Ahaz in the presence of sin and in the absence of faith, and in the midst of a sinful, self-seeking people, becomes for Ahaz a word of destruction and punishment. Oh, Assyria did the job. They took care of Israel and Syria, but they didn't stop. And like a river overflowing its banks, it came to the doorstep of Jerusalem. The presence of God can mean punishment and destruction. Isaiah himself felt the same experience. Woe is me, he cried. For I am a person of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh, Sivaoth. God's presence in the midst of sinful people should mean punishment. And yet, how many people today celebrate Christmas, Emmanuel, either with no thought at all of the presence of God, or with a total misunderstanding of what God's presence really means? How often the God of Christmas isn't seen only as a meek, loving, lowly, but benevolent God, giving us blessings and gifts just as we ask. A God who is so pleased with our designs and our plans for Christmas. Ah, the God of the Christmas card, the God of peace on earth, goodwill among men, fireplace house, new fallen snow, glasses of good cheer, and all that sort of thing. But God with us, Emmanuel, has to do with sin. But you see, that's the greatest miracle of it all. Emmanuel has dealt with sin. By grace and grace alone, Emmanuel has come as he whose name is also Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Yes, God is with us. Yes, God must punish sin, but he will know he already has. Then his consuming, divine, and holy wrath, not on you and me, but on Emmanuel himself, his only Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. And that's what makes Christmas merry. And perhaps to use a more biblical term, blessed, joyful, peaceful. When we first remember what God's presence, Emmanuel, God with us, really should mean. We just sang, had I no load of sin to bear, by grace, O Lord, I could not bear. In vain hast thou been born for me, if from God's wrath I have been free. But you see, we were. We too were captive Israel, mourning in lonely exile. But God has ransomed us too. When sinful people come confessing in humble repentance before the Lord of heaven and earth, then the grace of God in Emmanuel brings peace and joy and blessing to forgiveness. For God is with us. He has already come. He has already punished our sin through the death of Jesus Christ. God is with us not as a consuming fire, but as our salvation. O Emmanuel, King and Lawgiver, for whom the nations wait, their only Savior, come thou, O Lord, our God, be our salvation. Amen.